Well, I'm glad you're here today. It's an exciting day to see what God will do. We have a team that's in St. Louis right this minute ministering. I think there's 40. You guys aren't going to help me at all today, are you? 42, maybe 43 people that are in St. Louis. And then my wife is in at camp with elementary kids. She had this brilliant idea this year that she was going to go to elementary camp and for 12 days in a row. So she's doing 3 camps in a row, 12 days in a row. And I got to see her on Friday because her phone broke. So I had to go pick it up in Marion, drive it back to Muncie, get it fixed, drive it back to Marion. And that's it. That's all I got to see her. You know, I was thinking about when God is walking with Adam and he tells Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. I think he was talking about me. But notice he never said that to Eve. You know, he never said, it's not good for a woman to be alone. I think he would have said, it's probably good for you to be alone sometimes. Send your husband on a business trip. Hey, well, I heard this story this week that I really liked. I think it's a true story. I'm not real sure. But there was a lawyer. I mean, any lawyers in the room? I don't want to insult you. Any lawyers in the room? Great. Okay, so there was this lawyer, and he was on an airplane. He was coming home, taking a trip, and beside him was this older gentleman, much older than me, and they were sitting beside each other, and the lawyer thought, well, I'm going to get one over on this guy because, you know, I'm really smart, and I have a law degree, and I've been to law school. So I'll just play this game with him, and I'll get one over on him. So he said, hey, you want to play a game with me? And the older gentleman said, no, I do not. I want to sleep. So he bumps him again and he says, hey, this is a great game. I really want you to play this with me. And it's going to be really fun. He said, well, what is it? And he said, well, it goes like this. I'll ask you a question. And if you don't know the answer, then you pay me $5. And then you'll ask me a question, and if I don't know the answer, I'll pay you $500. The guy's like, okay, I'll do that. So he says, okay, here's my first question. How far is it from the earth to the moon? The old man reaches in his back pocket, pulls out a $5 bill, and hands it over to the guy. The lawyer's kind of smug, and he said, okay, now you ask me a question. And so the old man says, what goes up a hill on 3 legs and comes down on 4. And then he turns over and goes to sleep. And the lawyer has his laptop there, so he pulls it out. And he starts Googling 3 legs, 4 legs, hill, up, down. I got to find the answer to this. This is going to cost me a lot of money. He pulls out his smartphone. He starts calling his friends. Have you ever heard this? What goes up the hill on 3 legs, comes down on 4? Nobody knows anything. So after a couple hours, he wakes the old man up and reaches in his wallet, pulls out 5 $100 bills and hands them over. And the old man rolls back over to go to sleep. He says, now wait a minute. I want to know what goes up the hill on 3 legs and comes down on 4. The old man reaches in his pocket, pulls out a $5 bill, hands it over to the lawyer. I think sometimes we make the Christian faith really difficult, tricky. Has this ever been your experience? Like, I got to find out how to do this, but I don't know how to do this, and I don't really know anybody who knows how to do this, so I'm just going to do the best I can. You ever experienced that in your life? Well, let me set the rules up here. When I preach, I expect you to do something. I don't know what Mark expects, but I expect some feedback from you, or I will kick you out. No, not really. You can stay. I've just had times like, how do you be holy? Okay, as a young man, as a middle-aged man, verging on becoming an older man, how do you maintain a holy relationship? What is this righteousness everybody's talking about? And so I've had lots of questions throughout my life of how does this work? And it seems like the answers that I get back are really complex. And it's always been a little bit confusing to me. I think that's why Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers of the law. And they knew the law. They knew the rules. And he said, you tie up heavy loads and put them on men's backs, but you don't do anything to help them carry those loads. And I think we do that in the church sometimes. I mean, how do you come into faith even? It becomes this long, drawn out, all these steps you have to go through, and I think we have it wrong. So I've been praying about this particular message. We're starting a new series today. It's called Jesus the Miracle Worker. We just got done with Jesus the Storyteller. And man, I've been struggling with this one. Because I begin to see lots of miracles happen, healing happen in my life and around me and in this church. We had 6 people get healed this morning in the first service. I mean, like healed. See, and that really shouldn't surprise us, should it? Because we're the church. This is where it's supposed to happen. And so how do you take us, Selma United Methodist Church, from a culture of being surprised when God shows up and does miraculous things to saying, wow, this is who we are. This is what we do. When people come into church at Selma United Methodist, they get healed. They get saved. They get set free. They get made whole. This is what we do as a body. And the first thing we want to do is set up a long list of, well, here's what we're going to do first. At least that's been my past and my history. I want a list of things that I do in order to get to that point. I think that's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, Sadducees, and teachers of the law, you tie up heavy loads, you put them on men's backs, but you don't help them help carry them. But he said also to his disciples, in order to be a part of the kingdom of God, you have to become like little children. See, I think you can have an IQ of 60 and figure out the kingdom. Are you with me? It's not supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be fun.
Everybody's all serious. Serious in church.
You ever been to churches where everybody's serious? Oh my gosh. I have. I just didn't fit in. Think back when you were a little kid, okay? If we're supposed to be like children in order to enter the kingdom of God, think about when you were a little kid. Some of you, it's going to be a long time ago. Remember, it was the Depression, how bad it was. Some of you, the War of 1812 had just ended. And I don't think it matters when you grew up. Your experience as a kid is kind of similar. You know, like, I wanted everybody to be my friend when I was a kid. So when you went out to play, whoever was there was your best friend. Right? Think of the things you did. We grew up on, we called it the farm, but it was 5 acres. But, you know, 5 acres when you're a kid is, takes a long time to walk from one end to the other. So to me, it was a kingdom. And we had a giant barn that was a post and beam barn. And man, we spent so much time in the barn. It was so much fun. And we had a farmer that would store his hay in our barn. And then he would take it out throughout the year and then feed his cows. And so we would play in the haymow all the time. And we would build tunnels and forts. And we'd have corn cob fights and you tell them from Indiana, can't you? Grew up right down the road. But it doesn't matter where you grew up. You did fun things when you were a kid. Everything was about fun. In fact, when I was a kid, we actually had a whole summer between school. It's a new concept, isn't it? We would get out of school just after Memorial Day. We would get out just after Memorial Day, and then we would go back to school after Labor Day. We had like 3 months. It was awesome. We'd play out in the yard. We had a tire swing. I know, it's like Little House on the Prairie, isn't it? And we had a tire swing in this big maple tree that was in our front yard, and Dad was, oh my gosh, he was so much fun. And we would sit on that tire swing, and Dad would swing us, and he'd grab that swing, and he'd throw it as hard as he could. He'd grab that tire and throw it as hard as he could. And then he would crash it into the tree. Do you remember doing that? Oh, yeah, you did. And he would laugh maniacally. And we would scream because we thought we were going to crash, but we never crashed into the tree. The tire would hit the tree. We would never crash into the tree. Dad knew that, but we didn't know that. It was really fun. We played hide and seek out at night. I loved it when a storm would come in and there'd be lightning. We'd go out and watch it. We'd catch lightning bugs. You ever catch lightning bugs? We had a BB gun. We'd shove the lightning bugs down inside the BB gun. I know, isn't that evil? And then if you shot you take the BBs out and just put them in, and then the air would force the lightning bug, and you'd shoot them up against the barn, and they would be like, it would be this giant glow, and then it would fade. See, when I was a kid, it was really fun. It was fun being a kid. And I think Jesus said you have to be like kids to be in the kingdom of God, because it's supposed to be fun. Something happens after we graduate from high school and maybe graduate from college, and we get married and we start having kids of our own, and there's something that shifts in our life, and we like stop having fun. Every once in a while, we'll go on vacation. And we'll have 6 or 7 days. We have friends that they fight all the time. They're married. They fight. They have these horrible angst kinds of things that they're just struggling with each other all the time. And then they'll go away on vacation like 3 times a year, and they'll fall in love again. And then they'll come back and there'll be like 3 weeks where everything's great. And then they'll start up again. And it's like this cycle that just keeps going and going and going. And as an adult, there are these cycles in our life where we just don't have fun anymore. We have so much responsibility. We have jobs and bills, and we have things to pay for and future. And you see, I think the difference between a kid and an adult really is the kid just is here. It's the moment. Now, that causes some problems sometimes. You know, because they don't think about consequences. But like when I punched Winnie the Pooh in the nose at Sears. Maybe that was my brother. Yeah, that was my brother. And they're in the moment. And we're always thinking about what's coming. And what do we do with what's coming? We're not worried. I mean, they're not even worried about school starting. It's only 2 weeks away. Or is it a week away? I mean, it's something ridiculous. The kids starting school in August now. It's coming right up. They're not worried. They're going swimming today. Or whatever. That was a long way of saying, look, the kingdom's the same way. Have fun in the kingdom. Bringing people to church should be fun. Not a job. Nobody likes their job. It's fun. Seeing people healed should be fun. Not something that's hard to do, because it's not. Look, open your Bibles up to Mark 1. I just want you to take a look at this with me. I'm This is just one instance of Jesus healing one person, but I think it's so telling for us in the kingdom of God. A man with leprosy came to him, Jesus. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Have you ever been that desperate? This is a pride humility issue. Have you ever been so desperate for an answer from God that you would beg him on your knees? Just a question. Look at Jesus' response. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. So he comes to Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." What's Jesus' answer? "I am. Yeah, I'm willing. I'm willing." Now, here's one of the things where we get all bound up with, and that is, does Jesus really want to heal everybody? Or are there some people that he doesn't want to? We get all caught up in this. And we think when we pray for somebody and they don't get healed, or we don't see a miracle, and we just go, "Oh, that was God's will." I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Not just this story, anywhere. I think when we come to Jesus and we say, I need to be made clean. I need to be made well. I need to be healed. He says, "Okay, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'm willing." So I had a lady come to me, came to me and said they had done an x-ray and they'd found tumors on her lungs, in her chest, and would I pray for her? Now, I'm just being completely honest with you, okay, because God is changing my heart. And so she said, "Would you pray for me?" Well, now, what's my first thought? What would your first thought be? Hello? Anyone? Yes? That was not my first thought. I know. It's not the right answer. It's not the godly answer. Yeah.
What if she didn't get healed?
What if she didn't get healed? Okay. Yeah, that's a valid thing. What else? That was what I thought. I said, "Did you smoke?" I didn't say it. I thought it. Does that make me a bad person? Yeah, it kind of does. Why? Why do I care? Because I've been brought up thinking you deserve what you get. You made terrible choices. You made bad decisions. This is the outcome for making those decisions. What did you think was going to happen? That doesn't fit this story at all. Not at all. That's not the heart of God at all. God's heart is redemption. It's restoration. It's saving. It's bringing us into a relationship with him that we don't deserve. Look, there's nothing you've gotten from God that you deserve. Nothing. He paid the price on the cross, shed his blood for you to give you what you could never earn. Never. Why is healing any different? Why are miracles any different? You can't earn it. You can't buy it. And you can't do something to drive it away. It is the grace of God on us, the body of Christ, on his people whom he loves. So I prayed for her. I didn't say, "Are you a smoker?" I prayed for her. She got healed. Wrong attitude. Didn't matter. She still got healed. "I'm willing, be clean." Now here's the weird part to me. He touched the leper. Now you got to understand the rules back then. Lepers were unclean. They were outcast. And so they didn't live in the city. They lived outside the city. There was a special place for lepers. It was essentially quarantine. It was God's rule to quarantine people with leprosy so that nobody else would catch it. It makes complete sense. But the problem was nobody could touch a leper. Nobody could come within, 50 feet or something of a leper. And anytime you came close to somebody with leprosy, they were supposed to cover their mouth and yell unclean. Now, can you imagine doing that your whole life? Anytime someone comes near you, you have to yell unclean, because if you came in contact with somebody with leprosy, you were made unclean. And then there were all these rules and rituals that you had to go through in order to become clean again. That is, if you didn't even catch the disease. And Jesus was a rabbi. So it wasn't just that he was a regular guy, he was a rabbi. And anybody who touched a leper became unclean. Jesus touched the leper and he became clean. The uncleanness of the leper didn't affect Jesus at all. It was the cleanness of Jesus that affected the leper. Are you getting me? You can't keep what you don't give away. What? I should hear crickets right now or something. This is good. Are you getting this? Look, we're anointed by God, not because you deserve it, but because of Jesus, what Jesus did for you. You're anointed by God to clean people up. He gave you the authority to do it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus said this, I'm going to heaven. I'm giving it all to you. You have every bit of authority that I had. Is Jesus willing to heal? Is Jesus willing to heal? Who? Now you're getting it. Who does Jesus want to heal? Everybody. Of everything. If you get a chance, just jot this down. Isaiah 61. Write that down. Read it later. Isaiah 61. This is Jesus' mandate. This is what he reads to the people. This is my job description. Well, it becomes our job description. We set people free. It's what we do. And like a kid, we just believe we can do it because he said we can. As an adult, you go, I don't know if that's possible. I would have to actually see it happen before I would believe that I could do that. I think that's the Pentecostal church. I don't think that's the United Methodist church. I'm pretty sure. And I know it's not the Baptists. I'm really positive. What if it was us? What if people came to our church because they hear that here they can have hands laid on them and they can walk away completely different than what they walked in? What if that's us? What if who we are, the calling that God has on us, is not just to have life groups, which are awesome, and you should come on the 23rd if you don't have a life group. What if the calling of God on us is not just to come and worship? What if the calling on us is not just to come and hear Pastor Mark speak? And he's tremendous. Fantastic. What if that's not what we're about? What if what we're really about is making disciples who set people free? Are you with me on this? I feel like you're not with me. Are you here with me? This is who God made us to be. We are the church. Well, I want to pray with you this morning. I got to get a little more time than I did first service. So the way this works with me sometimes, and it's working this way today, because you know one of the most important things you can do is to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to listen to God, to know his voice. I said, did you know that one of the most important things that you can do is to learn to listen to God's voice, to hear him so that he can give you instructions and so that you can follow what he says? Yes. So, and that's what we do a lot in SALT. We spend weeks learning to listen to the voice of God. And so one of the things that God gives me is, it's called a word of knowledge. It's something that I don't know. There's no way I can know it, but he shows me things. And so what he's doing this morning so far, in last service and this service, is giving me words of knowledge. He doesn't always do that. But it doesn't matter if he gives a word of knowledge or not. You can still pray for anybody who has anything. And if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, he'll give you instructions on how to pray and what to say and what to do. So one of the most important things I'm going to encourage you to do is to begin to ask for that. To begin to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you to hear his voice. You with me? Well, I understand if you don't understand. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of that. What are you talking about? You spend time with God and you ask him to teach you to learn to listen to his voice, and he does. Because he wants to talk to you, and he wants to tell you things, and he wants to show you things. So let's do this real quick. Why don't you stand up with me? Stand up. And I'm just going to say some things that the Holy Spirit told me as we were worshiping. And if this is you, now listen, look at what the man did. It says that the man came to Jesus and fell at his feet and begged him. And so you have to come to Jesus. If you want healed, if you want made whole, if you want to be set free, you have to come to Jesus. You can't wait for Todd to get a word of knowledge and come to you. That happens sometimes, but not all the time. Come to Jesus. So I'm gonna say something.